Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Cam.
And we have a grab bag episode for you this time. No interview.
Yeah.
It's beers we brought. And it was, you know, a bit of a pain to drop all the beers off with different people and everything, but it was fun.
Yeah, well, when we live all so far apart, it does make it a bit difficult. So you're welcome, people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, basically the mission was we were all sent out to go pick up a 4-pack of what we found interesting or what we've been into recently.
Or what we wanted to try, yeah.
Yeah, and then we met and handed them off so that everybody wound up with a mixed 4-pack.
Easing our way into the new year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So slowly. Why don't we just walk around? We've already picked the order, so why don't we get in our order we're going to drink it. Whoever brought that beer, why don't you shout out what beer you brought?
There you go.
Okay,
so let's start with Jordan's.
Why don't I start it off, Warren?
Sounds like a good plan.
Right on. So actually, I kind of kept on the theme from one of our last ones where we tried the flood relief with Main Street Brewing. So I grabbed, it's actually called Flood Relief Golden Ale, and it's from Russell Brewing. It is a golden ale. I know that has additions of Citra and Idaho 7, I believe. I think they're donating $2 per 4-pack to the Red Cross of Canada for flood relief and extreme weather damage. So basically, everybody out in Cam's way there, Langley and Chilliwack area, stuff like that. But I don't know too much else about it. Maybe you want to have a third for me, Warren.
Yeah, I'm looking at the can here, and it looks like the Great Little Box Company was involved in some way. They probably donated some cardboard or something. And then there's a bunch of places listed on here. Eh? They got the Red Cross, Abbotsford Disaster Relief Fund, Chilliwack Search and Rescues, Mamas for Mamas, BC SPCA, Abbotsford Food Bank, United Way, Disaster in Canada, and Langley Animal Protection Society. So it sounds like a big group effort, eh?
Sounds like Russell's a bunch of good causes.
Russell's one of the like sort of bigger craft breweries locally. So
they'll
have a little more distribution.
Yeah, for sure. Pretty cool. So 4.5%. Let's check it
it's
up.
On the lighter side.
Seven and Citra,
Definitely get those hops on the nose.
Oh, yeah. It's grassy a bit.
Yeah.
Grassy, a little citrusy.
Mm-hmm.
Great head on this beer too.
It is, and it's not even. It's a little hazy, eh?
It is slightly hazy. You're right.
Yeah, it is hazy. It does look like one of those not New England IPAs, but the hazy IPAs almost in the haze.
A little bit, yeah.
It's got a nice sort of
the nose and
floral,
the taste,
maybe slightly, slightly fruity nose.
Yeah, definitely it's, floral, it's, a little fruity, like citrusy, like lemony, right?
Yeah, that's that citra popping through. I think.
Whew,
it's not as malty as I was expecting. Nice. It's pretty light on the malt.
Yeah, I was going to about say the same thing, that like in a golden, typically you get a little more malt forward, but this I would almost put into more pale ale territory, really.
Yeah, well, because the hops are so prominent.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Nice big orange, like orange flavor, like punch.
Yeah, it's a little orange sweetness. It's definitely a different golden ale than I expected, which is nice because you know me, I'm not a golden ale guy, but I thought keeping with the theme of the flood relief, since
that's not
Cam
too bad.
Bailed on me.
For good
reason. It finishes kind of crisp and almost like dry. It's like this would go really nice, I think, with some cheese.
Yeah, it definitely.
Cut through that greasiness. This is nice.
No, it's nice because I find some golden ales to be very one note. This one's got a little more complexity to it with those late edition hops and. It's really nice. Like I usually shy away from golden ales because I do find them to be that, you know, one note, pretty simple. But this would definitely be one I would pick a four pack up of, just for, you know, that after work easy drinking beer.
Totally, buddy. I feel the same way as you, Cam. Like, it is coming across a lot better than most golden ales I've tried. And like I said, I'm not a golden ale guy, but I got it because of the flood relief. I thought it'd be something cool to tie into the last podcast where we tried one. And I couldn't be happier that the way it tastes, because I don't know, like Cam said, I could drink a couple of these.
I was just looking too, because Russell Brewing has been around for a long time in BC. I mean, I remember back in the day, they used to be the ones that supplied the beer for
BC Lions, Place. Right?
Yeah. Well, just for all BC Place. Yeah.
Yeah.
For any event there.
The Abbotsford Center as well, when the heat were a thing, they were
there. They've been through some changes there over the years.
And then new ownership now, but also something that has been missing at Russell. Now. For a very long time was a tasting room, and it's not open yet, but I just went to russellbrewing.com and I looked at the tasting room page, and the photo that they've got looks really good for what's coming this winter, it says. But it's in the works, and it looks like it's going to be really nice.
I've got some breaking news. I got some breaking news as well. Russell Brewing has a new head brewer, from what I understand.
Oh.
Any names?
Yeah, I believe Zach's brewing there.
Zaku, don't say more.
Right, you mean
Zach that used to work at Central City? Yeah.
Oh no way! I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I was just talking to him over the last couple of weeks, and he told me he just started with Russell. I don't know, partway into February, I think.
Damn, that's breaking news for me.
Yeah, so I'll be popping out there to visit him soon and see how he's doing. But I think he's doing really well. He's got a brand new baby daughter and everything going on too, right? Shout out to Zach. New daughters
are awesome.
Hope you're doing well, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. I know he got a new belt in some kind of martial arts recently too, so good for him.
I just got his purple belt or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not karate. It's not... Yeah, oh, what's that called again?
Taekwondo or something? Or?
Purple belt, maybe jiu-jitsu.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, can kick some ass at brewing at Russell now.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing in a production brewery, so it's a good environment for him, I think.
Yeah, because he was doing the majority of the brewing, I think, at Central City, or he was like running brew side.
Yeah, which at Central City means pushing buttons, right?
Oh, yeah. Screen. But, I mean, it wasn't Gary that was doing the brewing. It was Gary was most ordering the pack, all the stuff, and then Zach was doing all the brewing.
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty cool. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
this is a really surprising beer, because when I hear Golden Ale, I think, like, low flavor, easy drinking, like, basically a replacement for a lager, and that's not what this is at all.
Yeah, no, it was different than I was expecting.
It's juicy as hell. The more I drink it, the more citrusy vibe I'm getting from it. Like, it's good. Like, it'd be the perfect, like, after work beer, or like after mowing your lawn or whatever, sit in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You crush a couple at 4.5% too, which is
always
good for something earlier in the day.
These will be good for at the park when the weather gets nice.
It's got nice body too. It's not thin like some golden ales are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good for a 4.5, right? It's a lower ABV.
I didn't even realize it was 4.5 when I got it until I.
You wouldn't have bought it if you'd seen that, eh?
No, I still would have got it because I like donating to people.
Of course. It was for the cause. It was for the cause.
I'm a fucking gentleman.
A philanthropist.
And that too.
Philanthropist.
Hard on the F. It's spelt with an F, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just like freedom.
Yeah, just trying to fill those pockets.
Fuck.
Oh man.
Well, I don't know.
This is a really surprising beer, and I'm happy you brought it, because
I might buy
more of this. This is actually been really a while tasty. Since I've had, you drink a lot of this.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've had something from Russell too, so I was kind of
hot. Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I bought a Russell beer.
Right? Honestly, I've been enjoying Russell for about the past 2 years probably, because they've been so underrated, because you just think of a big mass producing brewery, but they actually do some good small batch shit and then get it out there. Like
they always do. They always do well with Smoke and Mirrors, right?
Well, they've even other things they've had. They've had a bunch of nice IPAs, some stouts. Like they just do these one off, and then if they're really good, they come back around. But I mean, if you go out looking for Russell Brewing, like out of nowhere, you'd be surprised at how good they are. It's kind of like everybody like shuns or like doesn't look at Stanley Park or this or that,
right?
Because they're bigger. Red Racer sometimes too, you know what I mean? But they still pump out some actually really good beers.
Yeah, they got that Blood Alley Red or whatever, right?
They've had that for a long time.
Yeah, Blood Alley
ESB.
Yeah.
ESB now, I think they call it.
Okay.
Yeah, got that's website good open. Yeah, that's the one that everyone remembers. Their cream ale was pretty well known for a while.
And they brought it back after 25 years. Angry Scotch is their biggest.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. That one's popular too. Yeah. Damn.
Still on top at the pub down the street for me.
So where did you pick these ones up, Jordan, when you bought them?
I actually got them at a Westgate liquor store on 203rd and Maple Ridge. The old Jack's, if anybody wants to know.
Good to know where somebody's... I can get some of these if I'm out in Maple Ridge.
Half our listeners are out here, all three of them.
Exactly.
No, but I would honestly like to jump into the beer Cam brought, because this one's kind of special, because it is
a brewery
that has not been open. Mine is labeled fucking.
Yeah, mine says Choco.
What did you get,
Mike? With green painter's tape and black Sharpie, mine Porter. Says Choco.
So, you know, it's his a Porter.
Porter.
And what's your Cam say? Cam.
Mine says Cam.
So it's Cam's fucking Choco Porter?
Yeah, that's what they label it as. Yep.
I don't think that's going to be the official name that they release it under, will it?
No, surprisingly. this
you got any stats?
From Hubco, soon to be opening in Mission, right across from the West Coast Express.
Yeah.
Nice. And this is going to be their house porter. It's based off a recipe that my buddy Lance, who was kind of the lead brew designer, he's not the lead brewer, but a lot of the recipes are based off of his.
Mm-hmm.
His homebrew recipe was a raspberry porter. And their head brewer, Nathan, said, that's fine, but we're not doing adjuncts until we can get a really, really nice base porter down.
Mm-hmm.
Smart move.
And so this is just going to be their core porter. And then when they feel like it, they'll do fruit additions or adjuncts, however they see fit. But
interesting.
It is actually almost exactly the same as his original recipe minus the raspberry. So...
Mm-hmm.
Got a little pale malt, carapils, caramel crystal malt, chocolate malt, roasted barley, the usuals.
Nice.
And Sapphire SO4.
Yeah, British ale yeast.
And Goldings for your
Okay, hops. So it's more of a British style.
Yes.
Do we know anything about the IBUs or the
IBUs? It's low. I know it's 5-ish%. but yeah, it's. I think it's a really nice porter. Ooh, but
pours nicely. Dude, Jesus, look at the color on that sucker. That's pretty dark for a porter.
Super dark. It's got a nice like brown.
It's almost stout color. It's got a beautiful like mahogany like red around the edges. Super deep tan, nice head.
Yeah, nice head. I was gonna say retention is sticking to the side of my cup or glass.
Smells nice. You want to call
it. I love the smell of this beer.
It's very
the
fruity.
Aroma on it's great.
Very fruity, but you also get that chocolatey and the earthy.
I get a lot of chocolate and a lot of like fruitiness right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's beauty.
And then you get the chocolate underlying in there.
Nice cocoa. Toastiness to it too.
God, that smells lovely.
Oh wow, that's nice.
That's a really, really nice porter. It's got the chocolatiness.
You get that chocolate, but I get more dark chocolate than that milk chocolate.
I'm almost getting a little bit of smoky in there too.
Yeah, definitely some smokiness there too.
I like that it's dark chocolate flavor because it gives that bitter, like more bitterness to the malt.
Mm-hmm.
A little sweet for me. I'd prefer it a little drier, but.
Oh, I like the fact that it's got a tiny bit of sweetness in it.
I might just be the fruitiness that's sort of fooling me into thinking it's sweet.
I don't know. I find it a little sweet to my palate as well, but I don't mind that in it at all. Oh, yeah. 100% in a good way. It's nice.
It's got a nice body too.
Well, that'll go good with fruit, right?
Yeah.
Cam, why don't you chirp up this new brewery that we don't know anything about?
Yeah, we definitely don't know anything.
Well, Hubco, I was doing a little reading about Hubco too, and they were, from what I understand, they purchased the building, and it's an older building, and they spent like the last 2 years renovating it. Is that right?
They're leasing. Okay. But yeah, it's been 2 years of renovations so far. They signed a 7-year lease on it. And they're actually using Tofino's old brewing system, which they purchased.
Oh, really?
They got Tofino's old brewing system almost 3 years ago now.
Wow.
Shipped that over from the island. And it was in storage for a while. But they've got a decent amount of tank space.
Cool.
It's a nice size space, and I know that because I was there with Cam. How long ago was it? Like a year ago?
Oh man, that's over a year ago now.
Over a year ago, and when it was just a hollow brick and mortar space.
Yeah.
And we did a small batch brew off of somebody's home system, just working on I believe it was your recipe, Cam. The IPA to see if they wanted to put it on tap there. But of course they said no because Cam sucks. So
it was too good for them. Like homebrew.
No, it was too expensive of a hop.
I was gonna say it was too expensive. The way I tell it's way funnier.
They're like this beer is fed, like it was super flux boombox levels of juicy galaxy IPA. Yeah. But they're like, yeah, there's no way we could make money on this beer.
No.
Like, if it was a one-off thing and we could charge over $20 a 4-pack, then yeah, we would do it. But this is mission.
Yeah.
Well, then just sell that whole batch.
$8 beer. Yeah, right?
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool location, too. It's on that back road that sort of is the entrance into Mission, right?
It's either one road or the other old school main strip. You go down the one, but my favorite part about it is it's directly across the street from the West Coast Express.
Nice.
So you can get off the West Coast, literally jaywalk across the street and have a beer, or use the crosswalk like a weirdo and get a 4-pack. There's a dope-ass toy store next door, just saying. I fucking found a Funko Pop there. Toy store.
There's a toy store right next door.
How far is that from like the Billy Miner pub or whatever?
A long ways. That's
about it's a long way.
A hot minute. Is it? Get 25 minutes.
Depending
on traffic. It's like if you're hitting the bypass, you'd hit the Haney bypass, and Billy Miner's right before you get on the Haney bypass.
Oh, that's right.
I'm thinking all the way through Mission.
There's a West Coast Express.
That, never mind.
There, but I think there's another one before Mission.
That's
Maple Ridge. That's my bad. Yeah.
I will clarify for you guys, the West Coast Express taker, that the Billy Miner one is called the Hug and Go. Or a Kiss and Go or something like that. And it's because there's no parking lot, but it's right across from Billy Miner. The one in Mission is now called Hub Brew Co. Stop.
For you.
Well, no. I live in Pitt Meadows.
I mean, you called it that.
I had to make a name.
Once Hub Co. opens, then Jordan might accidentally fall asleep on the way home on the West Coast Express and wind up on Mission. And then he'll just have to sit at Hubco and wait for Melissa to pick him up.
I do have a good friend that lives there, so
stay overnight, take the train back in the morning.
Oh my god, I never even thought of that. What?
Right?
Best idea ever. I'm so glad my wife's asleep right now and didn't hear that.
Yeah.
The tasting room is all done. They're waiting on one more inspection, and then soft opening is coming very soon.
Oh, that's
exciting. They have capacity.
Are we going to do a live one?
Capacity for up to 100 people, I believe.
Nice.
In the lounge area. They got a shuffleboard table. They are planning on building a putting green / bocce lane.
And as of like today or whatever, that's actually 100 too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a nice little split level setup they have. So if you walk in the front doors, you're looking at like the bar is right north of you. And then glassed in behind the bar are all the brewing tanks. So it's if you can kind of peek around the tanks to see into the brew house and everything too. And they've got a small kitchen, so they'll have a few food options. But it should be a really great hangout space. And I know a lot of people in Mission have been waiting for something like that. So
They needed something like that. I mean, as being in Pitt Meadows and just having one brewery, like I can only imagine like being a craft beer fan and having nowhere to go but the liquor store and be like, I hope something cools there and different.
They have Mission Springs, but yeah, Mission they Springs, only have that one.
Mission Springs been there for a long time.
Yeah, if you want, it's a cool place if you want to go play volleyball in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, they've had some really good brewers there in the past. I don't know who their brewer is currently, but yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Brewers Kevin was there for good.
Kevin from Coast Mountain was there, And then
Timmy was there for a long time. He did Tim
Brown
job.
Was there,
Actually, I wasn't know for their beer guys.
Am I wrong? Was Tony there at all?
I think he was there helping Timmy out for a little bit. Yeah.
So they've had
and
some
then really vice versa. I think Timmy helped him out for a bit at Dead Frog.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So you've had Coast Mountain Brewing's head brewer there. You've had Trading Post's head brewer there.
Yeah.
So they all ran somewhere better.
Tim isn't Tim's move. Not in the industry anymore, but he used to be a teacher out at the KPU program.
That's right.
Yeah. And he had his own brewery for a while.
Yep.
Oh, I miss Surly.
Yeah.
That was an experience.
Yeah. Sure was.
I remember going in there one time with my buddy who's actually the one opening a hub. And we went into Surly and he goes, I make one beer.
Yeah. Solitaire.
He's a it's good. A fucking good beer.
It was.
But if you want anything else, I don't make it. I was like,
and he
cool.
ended up making a couple other try? Beers in the end.
He did make at least one more.
He made a pale ale as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember talking to him about it and I was like, I thought you were only going to make one beer. He goes, felt like making another beer. It's like,
Well, I think he realized that the Belgian model wouldn't necessarily work that well here.
Unless you're Daggered.
No. In the Belgian model is usually you make one beer and you make it really well. And then the other brewery, they make a completely different beer and they make it really, really well, right? And then, that doesn't really work when the guys down the street are making 20 beers and making some of them really well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard in this industry of BC to just do one beer really well when there's so many breweries that do multiple beers really well.
It would work if everybody was only making one.
Yeah, like some areas of Germany too.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid Germans.
Hot take.
It makes sense, though. It makes sense. They make that one beer and they make the hell out of it until it's perfect, and then they keep making it, right?
Yeah, well, my heritage is Germany, so just I'm allowed to say that.
I would have guessed Scottish myself.
No, I'm the mix of the Isles on my mom's side, but my dad's German. And also, what's that thing that
Malman?
Malman. Malman. Double N. Yeah, no, but I'm really enjoying this beer can, man. I'm really glad you grabbed it and we got to experience something from them before they even opened, man.
Yeah. Do we know the address or any other social media handles or anything like that?
Social media, I think everything's at Hubco.
Yeah, at Hubco, at Insta, whatever. It's at Hub, like HUBCO.
Hands Up Brewing Company.
Yeah, they should be open as long as the inspection goes well. When this episode goes live, they should be open within a week.
Sweet.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Make sure you tell us about the soft opening so we can sneak in there and take a peek.
Oh, for sure. And I've also gotten a couple cans of the Citra Pale Ale.
Wow.
It's nice. The brewer is a little critical of it. He thinks it sat on the yeast for a little too long.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're still dialing in the system, of course. You know, it's the
of course.
Yeah. Growing pains of opening a brewery.
Yeah, I try not to be too critical of a new brewery for the first few months at least. You know, give them 2 or 3 months to, you know, kind of figure everything out, right?
Yeah, but they'll be launching with a lager, the Citra Pale Ale, the porter that we've tried today,
mm-hmm.
and a black pilsner.
Ooh. Nice. I have to say though, like if this is what a launch black beer is going to taste like, we're in good hands here, because this is a really well made porter.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I was like I knew the base recipe was good from before. I was a little disappointed when he said it didn't have the raspberry, because I loved that raspberry porter.
Yeah.
But I mean, this just shows that the recipe was good and it wasn't just the raspberry doing the heavy lifting, right?
So I'm thinking this would go really nice with cherry too, hey? Like a black forest cake idea.
Oh, dude, that would be amazing.
Right,
I like that. I like that idea.
Like a black, like black
forest. Oh, dude.
Yeah, because like it has
a dark sweeter cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be great. So, tell your friends what's up, Cam.
I'm sure they'll listen.
They better, because I'm trying to book them too. So hands up, Brew Co.
Give them a few months. Brew Co. Once they've been going for a few months, then we should head out there and do an episode for sure.
Oh, I've already
the West Coast.
We've already put the feelers out. Yeah. Jordan's in contact. I've already talked to them as well. It's just
good.
Once they get their legs under them with the opening, then they'll be more available.
Oh, of course.
Right now, it's just opening.
I just like to break balls.
I don't think Kylan has slept in a couple weeks. So it's Kylan and Jenna. They're a husband and wife team. The main two owners, and they've basically been living at the brewery for the last month. So
sleep is
that's good. They got you can sleep when you're dead, right?
Right. So I joke with them. Old. I was like, "Hey, you didn't have a kid, so this is your penance."
Yeah, that is the best statement ever, Cam, because it's so on point.
Yeah.
Your brewery's like a child. And when you're opening it, you don't sleep, like, because it's being born.
Yeah. That's why I have multiple podcasts, because I don't have a kid.
The fuck's my excuse? Oh, I don't have multiple. All right. Warren's slamming the rest of his, so I think we better get into who brought the next one. Mike, that's you, right?
Yeah, this is Mike's.
All right. Well, I was down at... Four Winds in Delta,
mm-hmm.
having some lunch. Of their what was that called? Their hazy IPA.
Greg?
No,
that's their West Coast.
Electroflux or something?
Oh, shoot. I'm going totally blank here. But I was down there just to try that beer. And I was looking at their fridge. And I'm a big fan of their Brett Saison. I forget what it's called now. Opris, is it, or something?
Opris.
Yeah.
Opris. But they have a cherry Opris that was in the fridge, which is a Brett Saison with sour cherries. And it's 7.3% alcohol, 28 IBU. And aged in Okanagan red wine barrels, our cherry Brett Saison is invigorated by wild yeast strain Brettanomyces and conditioned on local sour cherries, inviting impressions of cherry pie and tart pit fruit.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's
barrel aged, unfiltered.
And I mean, Four Winds, they don't make a bad beer. Like, they make really tasty beers.
Mine was lively.
Usually
mine is
the color on this
lively.
It is lively. Holy crap.
My whole can is bubbled over with a beautiful, like, reddy, rosy color. That's just
beautiful.
Just the foam.
Look at the color. It's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
The head's this bright pink, and it's very dense and thick.
Porter's got a huge head on it.
That's a Brett beer, all right.
Clear, and it's super, like, pinkish, reddish.
Super effervescent.
Yeah, it's pretty lively. As a Saison should be. Yeah.
I totally thought of Warren.
Right? Thanks, Mike.
Mr. Saison.
At least you didn't say it's because the color matches his eyes.
Red?
Yeah. I see you smoke weed before, bro.
As much as you.
No, I win that competition.
Allergic from you.
This is cherry juice. Come on.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Let's be real.
That nose.
I was there to try the Extra Lux. That's it. Extra Lux is the hazy IPA, which they just rebrewed because it was sold so fast.
That is really good. I had that the other day, actually, in a can form.
I've been looking for that.
This nose is awesome.
Yeah. You get the bread and the cherry going on at the same time?
There's a lot going on at the same time. Yeah, you get this tart fruitiness thing up front where you kind of get the pits and all that. And then the roundness, the sweetness from the fruit and the cherries comes in after that. And then nice and dry and clean. You get the bread sliding in there.
Yeah, a little bit of funk in there too.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, but I'm loving that pit taste. Yeah. Like the actual cherry pit taste is really nice.
And then you get that.
Oh, this is a hit of the
cherry behind it. It almost reminds you of like cough syrup.
But not in a bad way.
Fake cherry. Yeah, it's almost.
No, not like cough syrup, man. When was the last time you had cough syrup that tasted this good?
Like a cherry lozenge. No, it doesn't taste that good. No, I mean, it's like.
I know what you mean. It's
trying to emulate.
Yeah. That's what those stupid cough lozenges are trying to do.
The color on this suggests to me that there's a lot of cherries in it.
Jesus, Warren, you full poured there, right?
Hey, you like
that? It's a Saison.
I was going to say the can says Saison, and he says say less.
Say more. Yeah, this is,
say la vie.
This is nice.
I can't get over this nose, man. Way it comes from like nose cherries. To mouth. Well, like, and that, like you said,
it never
that,
nose to mouth.
That cherry pit. No, it's ass to mouth. ATF, bruh.
I can't wait for Clark 3.
Sorry.
Yeah, it smells like cherries and it tastes like cherries and it looks like cherries. It's cherries.
It is. I'm not but it does have that, to the that wetness to it, the dryness of Saison. I'm not picking up like normally I'm used to more florally notes from a Saison, but I am not mad
at this. Nice. Yeah, this is nice.
The cherry definitely hides the funk that you get from the Opris.
A little bit.
But
yep.
It really rounds it out. It's really, really easy drinking. This is really nice.
I was just gonna say that 7.3 is hiding.
Oh yeah. Oh, this dude, is almost as well hidden as the Triples is Best IPA from ABC, which was a 10% beer that tasted like 5.
Yeah.
This again tastes like 4.5 or whatever. You can't taste the alcohol at all.
It's delicious.
It's super easy drinking. This is dangerous.
The golden ale almost tasted stronger, and it's hint-wise, it's not even close.
Yeah.
No, this is smooth. But I can't really get any of that barrel. Maybe it's just, I don't know, like
it's super
working subtle. In there without me noticing it.
I think the cherry probably is just a little too strong flavored to really taste that barrel.
Yeah, that could be it.
Well, yeah, I just had a
that
thought.
That is really good. I love that.
I've still got some of my porter left, and we were talking about Black Forest cake.
The cherry.
Oh,
so, now you got. Oh, I think I got some of that one left too.
I'm just gonna hit it with my other glass.
I'm gonna go grab a third glass.
So, what? We just wait till the fifth beer we try. Is what you're trying to say, Kim? Just make our own.
I'm gonna quickly make a blend here.
Little cuvee.
What are you thinking? Like 50-50?
Oh, I just used what was left in the can with what was left in my glass here, and it's tasting real nice.
I've got a lot of both left, so...
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Yeah, I did about a 50-50 mix, but oh man, I'm not upset.
My tiny child woke up, so I have to go downstairs to get the other can because I muted you guys for a while, and now I'm muting you again to get the can.
No worries.
I got a 50-50 here.
Yeah.
It looks really weird because it looks like Coca-Cola, but it's got a pink head.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not upset with the flavor.
Not at all. Yeah. I poured a little bit from the can, a little bit from my glass into another glass, and it's a nice flavor.
I think I mixed 50-50s too much.
Okay.
Not enough porter. It's a little watery.
I just like the fact that it's got that little bit of a hint of fruit.
It works, though. It works together.
Yeah. Really nice chocolate backbone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Hubco and Four Winds, can you collab, maybe?
Did we just do something here?
Well, you didn't yet, but we did.
Proof of concept.
Yeah. Do a little more porter than Saison, Jordan.
Yeah.
All right.
Do about 2/3 porter to about 1/3 of the cherry. See how that goes for you.
All right, boys. I'm trying it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Science, let me do a beer review. Smells like a porter, but it tastes like a Brett Saison with porter in it. Oh, fuck yeah. That's good, boys. I think I just came up with something. Thanks for showing up. No, that's actually really good. Like I like the ratio you guys said.
Yeah,
here.
I think the cherries would work good with that porter.
Oh, even like just everything about it, even if you blended it, a barrel aged porter and then blend them together or something like that.
How about put the cherries fantastic. In the barrel with the porter?
Or that.
Yeah, there's how definitely many? Some options here.
All right, copyright Pacific Beer Chat.
Oh, maybe we can do that for our collab with them.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. One day someone will collab with us.
We need to do another PBC collab.
That dude, it's been a hot minute because I've been part of this show now for a few years and we've never done one.
We did the one with
Kevin. So all I'm saying is we're going to together and get a collab going.
Were you at the Silver Valley one?
No.
Silver Valley was pre Jordan, I think.
Yeah, see? I wouldn't have time for Squid Ink in a beer.
We did beer. You
wouldn't?
I maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Because I won an IPA.
What if it's a black IPA, but they make it black by putting Squid Ink in it?
No, but honestly, I really liked the what do you call it? The cherry popper here.
It's cherry pretty good. Operous.
Cherry Operous. Cherry
Operous. Brett Saison.
Oh, it's a Four Winds beer. You know it's going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
hard to go wrong with that.
The way you guys are just like, I don't know, magically said, let's dump this into this. It turned out to be a great beer experiment.
Yeah, I mean, like Four Winds makes some beers that I don't enjoy only because they're styles I don't enjoy. Not because they're not good beers,
but you can still make appreciate a bad beer.
Them. Yeah, exactly.
No, they definitely brew proper. Like when they do a style, it's the proper way. And normally, like you said, if it's not your taste, it's not your taste, but it's done well.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
The Mills family know what they're doing. They've got a great person in the lab with Ashley. They've got a lot of things going on there that are going well, and. I mean, shit.
Kylo.
Beyond the beer, that food program is epic.
Tacos?
Yeah, tacos. I hear they have an amazing burger, and I can't have anything burger. But the fucking tacos, though.
Yeah, why would they get a burger when they have tacos?
So, I got the burger recently. Really? I was going to say the last time I was there, but that was a lie. It's been a while. Because, like, I would go in all the time and be like, just give me one of each taco. That's all
I do.
Just one of each taco. I don't even look at the menu. I just say, just give me one of each taco. And then I remember, I think it was on our podcast where they said you have to try the burger.
Yeah,
they did.
When we have Brent on, and yep. I was like, okay, like next time I go, I'm just gonna get the burger. And holy shit, boys, it lives up to the hype.
Nice. Is it better than Dirty Burger?
Oh, dude, it's just like a beautiful smash burger. Buns on point. Smash. It's not like nothing. Like some places, they get way too complicated. Like
yeah,
meat, cheese, lettuce, tomato bun. Like that's really all you need.
The bun needs to be on point, though. You need one of those tasty, buttery.
It's ones. A potato roll. It's a proper potato roll.
Nice. Got that little dusting on top.
And like the cheese, they did. I don't know what they do with the cheese, but it was almost like fried cheese on top. Like it was
like they grill it.
They grill it. It's almost burnt cheese in a sense.
Oh, it was like crispy, but not to the burnt, but like crispy.
When it bubbles and crisps. Yes.
Yeah.
We might have to do a review. Do a menu review.
Yeah.
Order one of everything and check everything out. Yeah.
But I mean, I've never had a bad meal at Four Winds. No. And anytime I was in the area, if I had an excuse to go there for lunch, I would.
Oh, yeah. So anytime I'm in that neighborhood, I try to grab a taco or two.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never been. I'm so sorry, Four Winds.
I just feel bad
been
because...
for tacos, Jordan?
No, I've never been to Four Winds in general. I drove past it when I was like, hi, Barnside, we're going to podcast there. So Four Winds, podcast with me.
I'll admit, like, I once in a while, I'll pick Barnside over Four Winds because I want a good grilled cheese sandwich, which they make awesome grilled cheese sandwiches at Barnside. I just love street tacos.
Right?
Oh, street tacos are the bomb for sure.
Well, especially the ones they do at Four Winds. They're so elevated.
If I was closer, I'd go. But they're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Traditional isn't the best all the time. You know what I mean? That's why the breaking boundaries and everything, food and beers is the best.
Hell yeah.
Well, should we take it to a new level there, Mr. Warren Boyer?
Well, yeah. Let's move it into the IPA category there, Jordan.
All right. Let us know what this is.
Tell me more.
I got to come clean. This isn't my first time trying this beer.
Or second or third or fifth or 100th.
This beer came out recently, just within the last couple months. And I've probably been through like, I don't know, like 10 4-packs at least already. It's so good.
Diversity. I like it.
Hey, when I find something I like, I stick with it, you know? Yep. So anyways, this is...
You're married, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this is from Trading Post Brewing in Langley, BC. And it's called Best Coast IPA. It's a toast to the West Coast. And it has Columbus, Centennial, and Simcoe hops. And it's going to give you flavors of pine and citrus, etc. It's a classic West Coast IPA. I talked to the brewer. I talked to the brewer, Tony, about it. And he told me that this is essentially his take on the beer that they make at Brass Neck every Christmas. They make Spirit of Dixmas. Yeah, so this is sort of Tony's take on the Spirit of Dixmas. It's a very similar type of thing. And the Spirit of Dixmas, of course, is based on the IPAs that Tony was making at Dick's, right? So the IPA that Tony was making at Dick's back in the day became this anniversary beer at Brass Neck, and now it's become the Best Coast IPA from Trading Post.
And for people that don't know, Dick's was a brew pub downtown Vancouver, which more recently and until a couple of years ago was a Central City Red Racer pub or whatever. It's right across the street from BC Place, basically.
Yeah, it's on Beattie Street, right across the street from Dick's, basically the Terry Fox Memorial.
Yeah,
Dick's was like some place for casks back in the day.
Yeah. So they had Thursday night casks, and it was the first place in Vancouver to have a regular cask night of any sorts.
Yeah.
The Whip was the next one to do it after them, I think. And the Whip's just closed. I just heard they're they've been sold. I think the guys from Twin Sales are going to be taking it over.
Okay. Oh. Well, at least it'll be
that ain't bad. That ain't bad.
Right? Yeah. That's not too bad at all.
Well,
but anyways,
the good thing about cask too is you can always just go to Smuggler's Trail and get a bottle or two.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea on this Best Coast IPA is this. This is about as close as you can get to a real traditional West Coast IPA. Tony was making them back then when the IBU wars were on, and he's making it again now. He knows how it's done. He knows how it's supposed to taste. That's why I love this beer, and that's why I've been buying so much of it. This is why I fell in love with craft beer.
It's your time style. Machine beer.
Yeah. This reminds me of the early 2000s, the mid-2000s.
It's got beautiful. That kind of piney, resiny nose.
It's a little grassy, citrusy. Yeah.
Yep. That nose you all look new and loved.
Yeah, it's not as not as deep on the nose as some beers are, but it's got a really nice nose, though.
Right.
That tastes so worn. You're 100% right, dude. Wow. This is really tasty.
Oh, now, it's bang on. This you isn't got that cereal, malty, nutty, and it's balancing that floral, spicy, citrusy hops that are just cutting through everything. Oh,
everything's perfect. Everything's melding together though. Like everything you just described is just like blending.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, this you got to remember
the hops brewers race, but it's
No. This is I wouldn't say balanced version of it, but it's a more comparison. Reasonable version of it, right?
In comparison to those like 100 plus IBU palate records, this is balanced.
Yes. 100? Yes.
What?
100? You got to remember, this is made by a very talented brewer who understands this style, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I wouldn't expect anything less. And it's 6.5%, which is bang on what it should be.
No, it should be higher. Nope.
No, West Coast.
6.5, 7%.
That's guys, you're wrong. I'm making new laws. seven plus. So who brewed this? Give
this
a show.
This is Tony's. Tony DeWald brewed this, and he was the one of the original brewers back at Dick's. I don't think he was the original one when they first opened, but he was one of the brewers through there. No, it wasn't actually. Derek French, I know, was there for a bit, but I think he was after Tony left. Tony was there, and it was funny because all the brewers would hang out there on Thursday nights, and all the real beer nerds would hang out there. And there was a couple, Adam and Jillian, who had moved up here from San Diego. So they were big fans of Pizza Port and some of the crazy IPAs coming out of there. So they brought that love up to Vancouver, and they were hanging out at Dick's with us. And they kept telling Tony, oh, more hops, more hops. Yeah. So Tony was changing his IPA all the time. And then he did a homebrew contest, and I won that contest, so I got to make my beer at Dick's. And then he kind of took my recipe and he built on that as well. And he would change it. Every time he brewed, he'd make it better by talking to the people in the bar and getting responses from the people that were drinking it. And for a while there, he was changing it every single brew, and it was just getting better and better and better. And oh man, some of those West Coast IPAs I had there back in the day at Dick's were amazing.
Wish I knew about it more.
Oh, good times.
I got on there
people.
Like right near the end of Dick's. Mm. Introduced to the cast thing there from Steve. Once in a while, co-host of the show, and I was like, "This is amazing!" And then it closed.
Yeah, it was a real central meeting point for a long time, and like places like the Whip and R&B and stuff like that that started cask. That's all Tony's influence. Tony brought his love of cask from Montreal. He was a brewer back there. And then when he came out to the West Coast, he was like, nobody's doing cask here, and this needs to happen. So it was him pushing to make it happen and talking with Camera and all the other brewers that were involved around there at the time and just making it happen.
Oh man, back in the day of camera can't pay for
the first day.
10 years too early.
Yeah, the cask festival.
Man,
the first cask festival in Vancouver was at Dick's, and it was run by Dick's and Camera Vancouver as a joint venture.
That's cool.
Well, I mean, you look at Tony, and like if you were doing a BC Brewers Mount Rushmore,
oh,
Tony's on there. You got Tony, you got Gary.
Yeah, good place to start. I'd put James in there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. James for sure.
Maybe Rick and Barry.
Oh, dude, I heard a rad story about James today and how he got his canning line.
Oh yeah.
He found it in the field. Are you allowed to?
What?
I don't give a fuck what I'm allowed to do. Found it in the field. No, he literally found. Oh God, what brewery was it? It was maybe Old Phillips or something. But he found it. His canning line, it's a pneumatic, so like air compressed basically, canning line, and he found it in the field, like, and it was all covered in freaking like what, overgrown basically.
Yeah.
And he grabbed it out of the field, brought it back, cleaned it up, as he does with every fucking thing in his brewery, right? Well,
everything's and reclaimed then, and
so modified. He reclaimed this canning line and put a couple bucks into it, fixed it up. Because he's a mechanical genius and a mechanical brewmaster. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is what I heard.
Well, it's like the whole brewery is like that. Everything's hobbled.
Oh,
well,
mash tons and old yogurt modified. Container.
Yeah, everything's old dairy.
Oh, he's got dairy this, stuff, dairy that. But so he found an old pneumatic canning line in, I want to say Phillips or something like that. Like somebody hella old.
You know, and, we should do an episode with a store.
Rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely we should, but he doesn't like me because I don't wear leather.
I'll talk to him.
It's a joke, Warren. I got leather, bro.
No. Put on some latex. That he'll like.
Nah, I like it. Maybe some platforms.
Yeah.
Well, no, you'd want to be taller than him.
I actually had the...
I better not be there then.
Oh, dude. We'll have to leave you in the van.
No. Yeah, we should probably talk to him because from what I understand, when that building's gone, he's done, right? So
that'll be a major loss.
He has no plans then, to carry on from what I understand, so it'd be good to do an episode with him before that place
closes. Well, then we just need to do a small batch brew with him at Pacific Beer Chat Storm. Going out.
We should talk to him about it.
Freaky.
We should talk all about right, a collab.
Yeah, we should.
Email in tomorrow.
That'd be cool.
But honestly,
a brainstorm.
Since we're wrapping this up, I actually had an awesome day today. And funny mentioning James, Gary from Barn Owl came down they went to Storm and he brought his head brewer Colin down. And James just happened to be brewing there. So this young buck brewer got to meet James in his prime. Really?
Nice.
Pretty sure it sounds like he was drinking wort with scotch in it.
Oh yeah, that's scotchy.
Yeah,
brewer's breakfast.
He was three fingers deep four times. Jesus, it sounded Christ. Like.
But, I'll tell you right now, if he's lucky, he didn't get offered the absinthe.
Thank God. No, but they tried the pizza pilsner and all these crazy beers.
Yeah, they had all those brainstorms. I saw the sign from last weekend. Yeah, it was nuts looking.
Wild, right?
It's a lager. It's just, like, what?
Oh, well, it's oregano, basil.
Yeah. Tastes like pizza.
That's what they said. It tastes like pizza.
Have you seen that rack? He's got that wire storage.
I've seen his rack. Yeah, it's dope.
And it's full of jars.
Yeah, all those
jars are different tinctures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got like a giant like shelf of mixing flavors that he can use to, you know, like make all these combinations and stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the guy's gnarly as hell. But he's the mad scientist of beer for sure. He's a local legend that I don't want to see go away. I hope he just, even if he retires, he just goes from brewery to brewery and collabs or something like that. You know,
I would like to see his brewers that he has there and his wife Heather possibly move the brewery to another location. Even if James retires, I would like to see the brand continue because it's such a great brand. Like the beers are so funky. My fingers are crossed. We'll see.
It's an icon of Vancouver. I've talked to many people who are traveling to Vancouver that say, hey, what is your Vancouver bucket list of breweries? Storm is always at the top of my list. I'm like, you might not like any of the beer, but goddamn, if you do not enjoy the experience then I don't want to be friends with you.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Do you guys not remember going there? It's like, oh, what's a flight cost? Donation bucket that's not ever been emptied. It's just full of like toonies and bills and this. and then you get your rat wristband that has I was too, but that rat wristband was the best. So like you could used to get unlimited fills.
Also for people he doesn't know.
Let me cross your rat out.
Yeah.
Yeah, those wristbands for people he doesn't know, man.
No, I remember he wasn't there.
Those are his minions. Gotcha.
No, I remember going in there specifically for the Flanders Red.
Yep.
And asking for it and them looking at me and going, you know this is like really sour, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you why they asked.
That's why I'm here.
You know why they asked you that? Because back in the day at Great Canadian Beer Fest, they would have their booth and they'd be serving, several different beers. And one of them was the Flanders Red. And routinely, people would wait in line, get up to the front. They would ask for the Flanders Red. They would turn around, start to walk away. They would take one sip, stop, and then put it on the grass.
Oh,
because they had no idea.
They didn't know what they had.
They're like, oh, this has gone bad or whatever. And they'd pour it out. And
have a word for those folks around here.
Yeah, uneducated. I'd be standing there watching them.
Wussies.
Right. So I'd be standing there watching them, just losing my mind. I'm like, are you insane? He's aged that beer for 2 years in a fucking barrel.
Yeah.
And then, so you idiots can pour it on the ground?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. So he stopped taking it, I think.
Just
for a while there, he almost stopped making it.
Just before COVID, I remember going to a beer festival.
What was that, 18 years ago?
And I think it was Steel and Oak had a West Coast IPA on, but it was just labeled as an IPA.
Yeah.
And you could divide who, like, people by age based on, like, going up and ordering the IPA. And, like, all the young people, like, oh, I'll get the IPA. And
they have a sip, it's clean.
And it's bitter.
Oh, and yeah, they don't know what they to can do. See through it.
Like, it's hilarious.
There's Sauvignon Blanc in here.
Like this, yeah, first, it's not, well, this isn't really hazy. And then it's not.
Boom.
It's just hilarious to watch.
Well,
some people's like kids.
All the restrictions have been lifted as far as the number of people that are able to congregate. As long as you're wearing your mask and you got your passport, you're good to go.
We can go dance again, guys.
Right?
We can go to the nightclub and dance together.
Right? that means I can go mosh at a metal show, so I'm happy.
Right?
Yeah.
I got tickets for a show coming up in March or something.
Ooh, dude. Slipknot, Ginger. Pardon me. Yes. Yeah,
I've Jennifer. Got tickets to Slipknot, Ginger, and In This Moment.
I know. Okay. So I just want to give a huge shout out today to I had an amazing experience brewing with Locality and Barn Owl, doing a red Irish ale that'll be released on St. Patty's Day, the 17th of March, obviously. Had to give a big shout out to Karen from Locality, the head brewer there, and to Colin, the head brewer, for just a bunch of knowledge drops and letting me participate and everything. So
very cool.
Check out Locality March 17th for a sick Irish ale that I did nothing to help with except like shovel grain out of the mash.
That's the most important part.
At least you did something.
They're like, hey, bitch. I'm like, no, it's Jordan. Just call me Pitcraft Beer Dad. Dude. And the then she hit me with a shovel.
What, bitch?
That's the best part of having a collab. That's part of the collab is other people are there to help do the work.
Oh my God, she did everything. She's an amazing brewer and amazing human being as well. Like, gotta give big shout out to Karen and also to Colin, man. He's a young buck, knows his shit. We had his ice buck and he like talked to me through the steps of him brewing it and like how crazy of a style it is. He's like, I was literally meshing it and freezing it at like a certain temperature, and then he just drains everything and it was just
Especially water, in that snow. You make a big slurpee burnout.
But we all love that ice box. We had it on absolutely. The podcast. Yep. And like I just want to shout them out for being amazing people and including me in brewing, since none of you assholes will. Except Cam. Only Cam. No, Cam showed up too. And I just fed him beers. But
yeah, you did. It was good. And I finally met Gary.
And you finally met Gary. Oh, Gary's the best. Right. Gary's a great dude. So let's do it like we normally do it. Ward, what's your favorite pick?
I think we know.
Is it really? A Saison?
Really? Actually, you know that Cherry Popperus was pretty amazing. But I don't know if I could drink it every day. However, the Best Coast, I could definitely drink every day. That's my goal right it. Now. It's just so damn good.
It's so weird hearing you pick an IPA, my man.
Oh, please. This is
a proper IPA.
That's mine. That's my go-to. All right, Mike, why don't you hit us up next, buddy?
This is a hard one because they all are actually really, really tasty. There is no beer that I don't really enjoy out of this four pack.
Agreed.
It's a real toss up right now for me between the Cherry Operas and the Best Coast. Let me just take another sip. I think I enjoy the Cherry Operas more, but I would drink more of the Best Coast. Just, you know, like it's one of those things, like it's the Cherry Operas is something special. It's That's something good. To share. It's something to enjoy, but it's not something every day.
Right.
Whereas I think Best Coast, even though I don't drink a lot of West Coast IPA these days, drink more New England style IPAs and stuff. This is a really, really well-crafted beer. It's for what it is. It's easy drinking for a beer nerd. It probably wouldn't be easy drinking for the average like lager drinker, but that's not what it's for. But
agreed.
Like I said, I think Cherry Operas is my number one, but I would drink more Best Coast.
Yeah. I like that.
Which is almost what Warren said.
Of course you do. You brought one of them. Jesus. Greg
Warren? It's almost basically what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. I was going to say, Mr. Cameron.
So most surprising for me was the Russell, the golden ale.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm with Warren and Mike, that Best Coast, like that takes me right back to my days at UVic.
Some hop just, circle.
Yep.
What?
All 3 weeks out all you were allowed there. Bombs. Hey, all 2 years before I removed myself.
I heard security removed you.
I might have been on academic probation, but
you sound like me more and more every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that Best Coast is like everything I looked for
right
when I got into craft beer, and it's like the distillation of what 10 years ago was the ideal for an IPA. So
it's a bit of a modern interpretation, I think, than you know, the nostalgic version, but
it's the refined version of those hop bomb palate wreckers where you can have more than one and you can still taste things.
Yeah. Cam, were you a little too on tap back then?
Oh God. That wasn't even a thing. Nobody cared.
No, On Tap Podcast.
Yeah, that was pre On Tap Podcast. That was no, I remember Phillips.
All I hear is Smashing Pumpkins right now. 1999.
Yeah, I'm not that old. I'm the youngest one of all you.
Fair enough of it.
But yeah, like I remember going to UVic and going to like the pub nearby. And like, oh yeah, pictures of Blue Truck are on special. I was like, I don't know what that is, but it's cheap.
Blue Truck, yes.
Got a pitcher. And it comes and it's that amber.
Did you
color.
Say Blue Truck?
Yeah,
that's what it was called back then. Yeah,
yeah.
It was pre Red Blue Truck or Blue Buck.
No. Back in the day, Phillips.
It was Blue Truck because they had a blue delivery then.
So much. I hate
and then
that
Red
so much
Truck. Right Red Truck sent them a cease letter. Sorry, Red Truck sent them a cease and desist letter, and told them to change the name. So instead of fighting them, they changed it to Blue Buck. And they announced the name Blue Buck at GCBF one year and unveiled the banner and had the TV cameras there and everything. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
The TV cameras?
TV. Yeah. Television.
Check news.
From the TV.
Check news. So, yeah, check around.
That's the best.
Jordan.
Honestly, that's
what was your favorite beer?
Oh, man. We had beer tonight?
Yeah.
It's very well, the two we had before the podcast.
No, those were waters. honestly, I was impressed, like Mike said, with everything. I have to disagree, though, that best IPA ain't my jam, man. It's too old school for my liking. I really enjoy the cherry popper there.
Cherry operas?
That's what I said. No, but... I actually really enjoyed the golden ale a lot. It surprised me with the flavors.
Cool.
Jokes aside, it was citrusy, had like nice levels of hops, which I didn't expect from it. I know I brought it, but still, I have to think my favorite is the Four Winds.
You like that cherry?
I really liked it. I like the saison factor. I like the cherry. I like the pit of the cherry, of that a lot. That's what drew me in. But then when we blended it with the porter from Hubco, it was really nice. And Hubco is like that porter doesn't need a lot of work. So they should start adding the adjuncts right away. Get that raspberry up in that bitch. Get a cherry in that bitch.
Oh, I guarantee
it was
summertime.
Fantastic.
Summertime, the raspberries are probably coming.
It's not something you get a lot of, but I would love to see like a chocolate portery thing with mango.
Ooh, dude. Ooh. That would be wow. Okay. Okay.
That's tough to get a balance.
Here. Oh, I don't think so. If you go just back country brewing puree, you can make it shine. Just get a sick porter with a chocolate flavor. Oh, dude. We need to collab with Hubco now. You heard it first. Mango farmers, call us.
A lot of those in BC.
Yeah.
Listening to our podcast.
Of course.
Yeah. Don't we have like four listeners in Chile or something?
Oh, yeah.
Mexico. Probably. I don't know. South America.
We got some in Thailand.
We better shut this down.
No, but I'm not joking.
I
talked to the one guy in Thailand. He tried to ask me for money, though. It was weird.
Yeah,
he wanted gift cards from Walmart.
That is, he said he was related.
He tried
to
make me
prince.
Pay my hydro bill in gift cards.
All right. If you want to find us on social media, Jordan, where can they find us?
You can hit me up at Jordan@pacificbeerchat.com or
how about
feedback.
Social media?
Oh, at Instagram, it's all Pacific Beer Chat.
And then if you want to email the show, you can go to feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. Or if you want to book an episode or something, send an email to Jordan@pacificbeerchat.com.
Yeah,
Jordan@pacificbeerchat.com. And if you would like to support us, you can go to patreon.com slash Pacific Beer Chat. The money goes towards upgrading equipment, our hosting, and all that kind of stuff.
Buying beers, going on road trips, maybe. Let's do this.
I hope so.
Warren, stop telling the good stuff. Yeah. Just donate because we're poor. Our beards are getting like unoiled.
Yeah, right? Exactly. We're looking Cam homeless.
Doesn't even have a webcam.
So yeah, a shout out to our Patreon supporter, Steve.
Thanks, and Steve. Shout out to Ross Vanderhoek, our actual
guy.
Supporter,
our sponsor.
Yeah.
If you need a home or if you want to sell a home, talk to Ross. He'll make it happen, man.
Or commercial or property.
If you
just
want a whole of the way, he does everything. Yep. If you have any ideas for 200, we're still open. I'm booking. And it's going to be a banger for 200, but 199 is going to be homebrew. We're going to have Warren, Mike, and Cam's homebrew, and a special guest.
All right.
Ooh. And we need to set that up soon because my keg's not going to last.
Just make more beer.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like this one. I want you to try it.
Edit that out. All right. Cam.
Well, we better end this episode here. Peace. Right.
Peace, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.